Do spirits have particularly strong opinions about fine art? Or are they more concerned with bothering those who come to appreciate the paintings and sculpture that adorn the spaces they haunt? Have you ever stopped to stare at a work of art, only to feel like someone or something is staring at you? And did it make you like that work of art even more? Let's share some stories here on Homespun Haints. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And today is our 20th episode. You know what that means.
Deckiversary time.
It is also our last episode of the season, Diana.
Becky, I'll miss you over the holidays. What will I do?
Well, good news is we're still going to be creating stuff. We're going to have bonus content on our Patreon, and we're going to have posts on our Facebook page and on Instagram, and we will be having a special Christmas episode that's going to come out around the holidays, so listen out for that.
Woohoo!
So, Diana, I think you're going to still be seeing plenty of me. I'm sorry you can't get rid of me.
You just keep haunting me. So you mentioned that we're going to be creating bonus content. Is that for our new Patreon page? That was smooth, right?
Yes, as we've mentioned before, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/homespunhaints. And we have a shout out to our newest patron, Kelly. Thank you, Kelly, for supporting us.
Thank you, Kelly.
Kelly's going to get herself some swag. She's going to get herself a personalized thank you note. And she's going to have access to all that cool stuff we're going to be putting out over the next few months.
But even more important, Kelly, you're keeping the dream alive.
The ghostly dream.
In the meantime, while you're waiting for our season two to start on January 13th, 2020, check out our Patreon page. You can access a ton of new stuff that nobody else gets access to. Just you.
Right.
Just a dollar a month. Or more.
Yes.
Your choice.
Or more. And then, of course, we also have our Facebook page at Homespun Haints and our Instagram at Homespun Haints. And, of course, our website, homespunhaints.com. If you join the Facebook page or the group that you can access through that page, you can stay in touch with us. And we'll also keep you updated on when that Christmas episode's going to come out. I say Christmas. It's multi-faith holiday.
It's a multi-faith holiday episode. I love it.
So we'll get to our crazy personal ghost story right after this.
Hey guys, my name is Tara.
And my name is Jessica. And together we co-host the podcast, Three Spooked Girls.
If you love the paranormal.
Or murder.
Join us every Monday as we tell our listeners about a new spooky tale or true crime case.
We'll have a special drink recipe each episode picked out by me for you to enjoy while we scare the hell out of you.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever the hell else you listen to podcasts.
Come hang out with us and get your spooky on.
Every 10th episode, we record one of our own experiences because we have a smorgasbord of paranormal experiences. Well, okay, we have like two, but we're hoping to get more before the 30th episode. Becky has a lot of paranormal experiences, and one of them, I hear, is that she used to work and own a haunted gallery.
Yes, I did. I did. Boys and girls, let me tell you that there are many bad investments that you can make in business, many bad business decisions you can make in life, but opening a haunted brick and mortar art gallery in the middle of the Great Recession is probably the worst business decision I have ever made, but it was one of the most paranormal decisions I ever made as well.
I like how you said probably. That's optimistic.
You know, it's so weird because every time something paranormal does happen to me, I'm like, yippee, I have something to talk about on the podcast.
Yep.
When I think back about it, I think one thing that's interesting, and I think this happens a lot with people who live with a ghost or work with a ghost, is you just kind of get used to it. And it gets to a point where you don't even notice it anymore, or you do, but it's not a big deal. And if somebody asks you down the road if you've ever seen a ghost or worked with a ghost, you're like, oh no, oh well, there was that time. And that's kind of what was going on here. So the backstory is, I had this brilliant idea. I no longer wanted to be a graphic designer, and I was going to open an art gallery instead. I really, really wanted to open in the incredibly historic and apparently very haunted area of Marietta Square, downtown Marietta, Georgia. Marietta is a suburb north of Atlanta, and it has this square, which is very quaint and beautiful. They have a farmer's market. They have a fountain there. They have old theaters and lots of great restaurants, and it dates back to the early 19th century. And, you know, again, we all make bad decisions. Anyway, I found the space, and when we first found it, there was no way you'd know it was haunted. It had dark green carpet and salmon walls and black ceiling and a bathroom that didn't work. Again, it was 3,000 square feet of ugly.
Stop. I'm trying to envision this. Green carpet, salmon walls, black ceiling.
Yeah, salmon is in the color, not as in the fish.
No, like, I get that. But still, it's a horrible color.
I mean, I don't know. So... He had styrofoam walls, so I mean, I just...
But, okay, so... that sounds gross. What was it before? Like a brothel? I can't even imagine who would make these design decisions.
It was an antique shop. Yeah, and nothing had been changed since the early 90s, so it'd been like this was 2011 actually when we found the space and moved in, and we renovated again. Business decisions. We ripped everything out. We even ripped out the walls. We reskinned the walls. We put in beautiful hardwood floors, painted the walls a nice inviting white color, put in track lighting, put in extra rooms in the back, because I had this grand plan that I was about to have a baby, and I would bring the baby to the gallery, and she would have her own room in the back, and I'd changing tables, and we installed a kitchen, and ka-ching, 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 ka-ching,
ka-ching. Yeah, that sounds a bit pricey.
So we finally get renovated, we get moved in, everything's hunky-dory, it's just hemorrhaging money from day one. I went into this with my mother and my sister, so it was three of us running the place. In fact, it was officially my mother's and mine, and my maiden name is Rule, so we called it Two Rules Fine Art. That was the name of the gallery. My sister was kind of the third rule. She came in and helped us out from day one. And we would open at 11, and generally what would happen is I would roll in around 10:45 and get set up and wait for my sister, who is generally late. She doesn't listen to this. It's okay. If you are listening to it, Helen, you know you're late.
I'm generally late too. I understand.
So I would sit there and be sitting at the front waiting for customers, and I would hear the back door open. And that was where we came in. There was a lot behind the gallery and a back door, and we kept the door locked. It locked automatically whenever it shut. It was in the back. There was another door. It was like a back room, and then it had an interior door that led into the showroom. And that back space, it was kind of creepy. My sister had some mannequins back there, so it was just creepy. What? It's a long story.
Wait, what?
She makes chainmail armor.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so she had mannequins.
Display the armor.
Well, she usually used her husband to display the armor. It was more just to have a form to build it on.
Oh, okay.
I even have a video out there of him dressed as a samurai wandering through Marietta Square. Anyway, so it was a creepy old room. It was full of frames and mannequins and sharp objects because we'd be back there framing and stuff like that. It was not a room you wanted to spend very much time in. So I would be in the front and I would hear the back door, the heavy steel fire door, back door open, swing open, and then shut. And I would think, okay, Helen's here. And I'd say, hey. And she wouldn't answer. And I'd think, okay, maybe she had something to do in the back. 15 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by. Helen, you back there? Yeah, I don't know what she's doing. So I go back there and there's nobody there. So I opened the back door, like the heavy back door into the parking lot, to see if her car is there, and there's no car. I would say the first two or three times this happened, I thought maybe she came and left. But I think around the fourth time, I called her and woke her up, so I knew it wasn't her. And then I called my mom, and it wasn't her. And they were the only people with the keys. So this door is opening and closing on its own. Or at least it sounds like it's opening and closing on its own. I never actually physically saw it open and close. I just heard it.
But when you went back there to check on it, was it locked still?
Yes. It was locked.
Oh.
It was locked. It was shut. And nobody had been there because everybody who could have possibly been there was not there. I confirmed with them. And this also started happening to my sister when she would get there before me, because she wasn't the only one that slept in. Sometimes I was the culprit. I mean, when you're running a place that doesn't make any money and you have a baby, a newborn, you're kind of like, oh, fuck it. I'm not coming. You know, I'll be in late. I'll put that out there. There were days that she was there and I was not. And the same thing would happen to her. So that was how it started. And then it would be other doors as well. The interior door to the showroom would start shutting and opening. And when it would open or shut, it was followed by, like I said, I built out the back to have an area for my baby and a kitchen and stuff like that. So there were two doors that led into that space. And there was a dividing wall, like two rooms back there. And you could go through those rooms interior, or you could go through the doors on the outside to get there. But one of those doors, namely the one in the back, would open and shut too, like in succession. So the interior door to the showroom would open, and then the interior door to the kitchen would open. Or shut. Hmm. And it almost to me reminded me of as if somebody was running through, like a child, running through and shutting doors, opening and closing the doors. And again, first couple of times it happened, maybe it's the wind. But that coupled with the back door, the sound of it opening and closing, we started thinking maybe something paranormal was happening. And let me remind you, all three of us experienced this. It was always when we were alone, but we all experienced it. Now, what happened next did not happen when we were alone. We all heard it. Like I said, the doors opening and closing, we were thinking, maybe something, maybe not. Maybe it's just, I don't know, ground settling or some such nonsense. But the banging was definitely not explainable any other way.
The banging?
There were two types of banging that happened. The first kind was, it sounded like someone was on the roof doing construction. And it was loud enough that whoever was there in the showroom, we would like stand up and try and figure out like what's going on? What is that noise? We didn't hear from the landlord that something was happening. Again, first two times this happened, we were confused. Third or fourth time, we were like, yeah, it's a ghost. So we heard the sound, and it sounded like footsteps on the roof, but it was very loud, like just almost like banging, like there was just somebody up there, and they were... It sounded like somebody was like repainting whatever it is, they put tar on the roof or something, you know, like scraping it off and putting more on. It was very loud. And it was particularly loud, again, in that back room, the creepy back room with the mannequins and the sharp things and the heavy door. And I went into the back. It sounded less like banging and more like footsteps, but it was creaking, as if it was walking on like a wooden floor, but the floor wasn't wood.
Because it was the roof.
It was the roof. If it had been wood, it wasn't anymore, but that's what it sounded like. It was creaking like floorboards. I don't know how to describe it. It was almost as if it was in the air. I don't know how to describe it. It was weird, but all I could think of is I was like, oh, there must be somebody on the roof. And it sounded very close. Like it almost sounded closer than the roof.
Like an echo almost?
Yeah, but it was like right above your head. The first couple times this happened, of course, we went out, looked to see who was on the roof. No one's on the roof. Call the landlord. Are you doing anything to the roof? No, no one's on the roof. So we never did figure out what that was, but it continued to happen. If I had to put a frequency to it, I'd say that the doors opening and closing, that started happening probably about twice a week. The footsteps on the roof, maybe every 3 or 4 weeks we would hear that, maybe more often. What was annoying was the other kind of banging. And now this was on the walls, and this was physical. We had a picture hanging system. We had a picture frame molding that we installed all the way around all the walls of the gallery. And if you own an art gallery, for our listeners out here, this is a brilliant way to set up your art so that you don't ruin your walls, because let me tell you, you're going to have to save money every way you can.
I've had a house with a picture frame molding. It's a pretty cool feature.
It is. And you get these like special hooks. You can get them at Home Depot. And what we did is we just went and bought dog chain, and we would hang the chains from the hooks, and then we would have these little S hooks, and we'd put them in the D rings in the back of the artwork, and we would hang those on the chains. And so we could put the artwork anywhere we wanted and not damage the walls. But it also meant that the artwork was kind of sitting a little bit out from the wall. So if there was an earthquake or something, those paintings would be hitting the wall. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't get a lot of earthquakes in North Georgia, unlike where you are in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. So one wall of the gallery sat up against the unit next to us, another shop. And then the other wall was out to the alley. So three walls were exterior, and then one wall was interior, and it butted up against this weird store. They sold Christmas stuff year round. I don't know.
That obviously was a lot more profitable compared to an art gallery.
Yeah, it was. Man, oh. I was so jealous of them. Well, first of all, this happened before anybody was in there. The walls would shake, like if somebody was on the other side doing some kind of construction, like installing some kind of shelving system or something, display cases. That's what we thought was happening before anybody moved in, because it was a vacated space. And it was so heavy and loud that the pictures were shaking on the walls. In fact, we were worried that they were going to fall off. It was just being held on there by gravity and these S-hooks.
Yeah.
But after they moved in and this continued to happen, again, the first two times it happened, I ran next door. What are you guys doing? It's so loud. And they looked at me and said, "We're just making fudge. You want some fudge?" I don't, what? I mean, they kind of had this confused look on my face. And I think at first I thought, oh, they are messing with me. But the second time it happened, I think they were genuinely getting annoyed with me. So I ran, I was like, "Guys, what are you doing?" And they're like, "We are not doing anything. We're selling Christmas ornaments of footballs. You want to buy a Christmas tree? Have some fudge." And they didn't hear it.
So your neighbors didn't hear anything.
They did not hear it. They did not hear it. They didn't know what I was talking about. They thought I was nuts. Huh. And yet it was so loud on our side of the wall and so strong that the pictures were actually hitting the walls. The chains were hitting the walls. And that's a freaky sight. All these chains going back and forth, hitting the walls with these pictures on them that are, you know, and it's delicate artwork. I can't afford to replace it. Pretty worried about it.
In fact, I got that ghost of Christmas past kind of thing going on. Yeah. Christmas neighbors. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just thinking of rattling chains, like the most common ghost trope in the world, right? Did you ever experience this on any of the three outside walls or just on the walls you shared with the Christmas shop?
Just on that wall. We stopped hanging things with glass in them on that wall. We would only hang them on the exterior walls because we knew that it wouldn't be disturbed. Freaky deaky.
Very freaky. I assume that you looked and just kind of tried to map out if there was a air conditioning vent going through the wall or like plumbing going through the wall that might have somehow been rattling against the drywall that you'd just replaced.
Oh yeah. Oh no, we had everything exposed at some point. There was nothing in there.
Okay.
I knew that. I mean, maybe some electrical wires, but that's not going to cause that. And this would happen when the air conditioning was off. What kind of helped us figure out what this was down the road, I actually left because I was tired of being poor, and being an adjunct professor at a local college paid more. So I went and did that. So
we've all been there.
I made $800 a month.
Yep.
It was double what I made when I was with that
frame shop.
Yes, yes. Being able to frame things is a very useful skill when you run an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And only when you run an art gallery. Kids, art really does pay. Just ignore us. I made poor decisions. You can make a lot of money in the arts, just not my way. I left. My sister and my mother continued on. They kept the place open for 6 years, limping along. So one day, my sister was actually selling a painting of a ghost, and somebody came in to purchase it. Every once in a while, that did happen. We actually did sell some art. Somebody came in to purchase it. Yeah, I like your happy face. And she had a friend with her, who apparently is a paranormal investigator. Ooh. And this friend says to my sister, "Well, have you had any interesting experiences here, especially in the back?" And my sister says, "Well, yes. What do you know about this place?" So apparently, when this was still in its glory days with the salmon walls and the green carpet and the black ceiling, not abandoned, but, you know, unoccupied, vacant, he had done an investigation in this building. Now, I probably should have provided some backstory. We dated this building back to 1813, but it had suffered several fires and been burned to the ground and rebuilt several times. And the most recent one had been in the 20s. And this investigator said that when he had been there, he had come across the ghost of a little boy in the back room.
Come across a ghost? Wait.
Again, I wasn't there. This is just, this is relayed second, third hand. But this is what he said. I don't know if he saw this or he picked it up on an infrared camera or something. But he somehow was able to figure out that there was a little boy who was moving back and forth, you know, forward and backward in this back room area, running back and forth. But what was interesting was the boy's waist was at floor level, as if the structure had been different once upon a time.
Oh.
The floor had been lower. The ceiling had been lower, probably constructed of something else. It had been wood, and it had burned to the ground.
Oh,
and
my God.
And he had died in the fire.
Wait, so the investigator said that they knew that this boy had died in the fire?
Apparently, they were able to communicate with him.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Uh-huh. Not communicated to us before we rented the space. I just want to put that out there. Landlords out there, please let your tenants know if your building has been the subject of a paranormal investigation.
Commercial real estate, jeez. Your sister met the paranormal investigator who investigated this building before your build out and said that there was a presence of a little boy that they were able to communicate with that they found out died in a fire back when the building had a wood floor and a wood roof.
I guess.
That were lower than the current structure. And so that would kind of explain why you were hearing footsteps in the rooms.
In the wrong places.
As though someone was walking on wood. When there was just tarmac or gravel on the roof, right?
Right. And my sister actually crawled under the building at one point. She wanted to put in a tank for her electric eel inside the gallery. You can't make this shit up. So she had this electric eel named Sparky. And she needed to climb under the building through the subfloor to find a place that had enough support to hold this massive tank that's big enough for an electric eel. And let me tell you, we got people in the gallery when there's an electric eel in there. Still weren't buying any art, but they came to look at the eel. So she climbs under the building and she sees that there's these half brick walls. They're kind of charred on top. But they're not in any sort of orientation that matches what is above it in the current gallery.
Hmm.
It's clearly a different structure it does not influence at all the current architecture. And they also, these walls kind of end lower than the actual floor, as if they had been supporting a much lower floor once upon a time. So it all kind of started to make sense. So I guess what really freaks me out about all of this, and none of this really freaked me out, except for the fact that before I knew this place was haunted, I used to leave my baby in that back room by herself trying to get her to go to sleep. I would turn out all the lights. It was pitch black. And she would scream and scream and scream. Not once did she actually go to sleep. And I finally stopped trying. And there is a part of me that wonders if there was something back there bothering her.
Oh my God.
So that's my haunted art gallery story.
Whoa. Oh my gosh. That's insane. You had the little boy. He was obviously running around through the doors, slamming doors under the floor because it was where the original floor of the building was when the fire happened in the 1920s. And then did you ever really get like a feeling for who was, I don't want to say who, but did you get a feeling for if there was a specific entity that was walking on the ceiling or opening the back door? Was it the boy? Was it, do you feel it was somebody else?
I mean, I always, I guess, felt like it was grown men on the roof, but maybe that could be me projecting because I thought it sounded like construction going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hard, especially in some of these really historic areas. I feel like it's kind of hard to sense one entity or another because they're just everywhere. And you get to a point where you just kind of get used to it. And it's actually kind of comforting in a way, feeling this sort of old presence around you. Hmm. So I don't know. I mean, even just being in the square, I'll have to take you there someday. You just feel it as soon as you go there. You feel it. You know there's stuff around you. And it just kind of becomes part of the scenery. And I guess when we rented the space, there was definitely a part of me that was like, oh, it's probably haunted. You know, it's old. So I'm saying this because I don't know that I would have been able to distinguish different entities. I didn't really ever try to. I guess I was so preoccupied with trying to run this failing business that I wasn't really paying attention to things like that. Yeah. If I had known I was going to be destined to run a paranormal podcast one day, you know, I may have been a little bit more interested. But at the time, it was like, okay, this is happening. I've got other things to worry about.
And raising a baby too, you know.
Oh, no, yeah, big deal. That's true. I mean, I was very underslept. I have confirming reports from my sister and from my mom. In fact, my sister even caught the door opening and closing on a security camera, but she didn't bother saving it.
Worst paranormal investigation ever, Helen. Good job.
Where we are, you know, Marietta Square, there's ghosts everywhere. We're preoccupied with a business. It was just kind of, oh yeah, that's fucked up. All right. I got some art to sell. I'm going to go worry about that. So it was just one of those things where I don't think it was until years later when I actually started to sit down and think about it that I thought, oh, yeah, that was a pretty genuine experience that we had. It was collective. It happened over, you know, a period of several years. It increasingly got worse. It was a regular occurrence. We did our own investigation into the structure and we had a paranormal investigator confirm what we saw. So yeah, I think it's like the whole big package.
But it's so weird that the fudgies next door never heard anything. I mean, how did they not notice? It's an inside wall. It's probably just drywall and beams, right?
Well, you know, we also never had any, thousands of people came in and out of that place and not one of them ever said anything or heard anything. Oh, you know, another thing that happened when I left, my sister's husband came and took my place and everything stopped.
What?
In fact, they were also living, they were living walking distance in an old chair warehouse. This particular area is known for chairs.
Okay.
There's this chair company called the Brumby Chair Company, and they're still in business. They made these rocking chairs, like handmade rocking chairs, and it was a warehouse that stored them. And they'd been converted into apartments, which were called the Brumby. And my sister was living there. And as she's moving out, somebody comes up to her and says, oh, you're in that unit? Oh my gosh, you know, we had to move out of there because there's so much activity. And my sister said, no, never, nothing. So she calls her husband the ghost repeller.
Yeah.
So maybe some people are like that. You know, they just I mean, she's hanging on to him. She doesn't have to worry about anywhere she lives now.
His vibes just cancel out the ghost vibes.
I guess so. Yeah. Wow. But it could be too, you know, maybe these people selling fudge were the same way or just were closed off to it. I consider our family to be maybe a little bit sensitive. My mom, much more so than the rest of us. We've always had, everywhere we've lived though, there's been something. I mean, that's why I have so many stories, I think. There's always been something every single place we've lived, even new construction. And I don't know if it's something about us or my mom, if we're able to hear these things when other people can't. I don't know. Or maybe that's just part of the paranormal mystery, that it only happened on one side of the wall, as if
one side of the wall,
the space-time continuum was like somehow disrupted or something, you know?
Oh, wow. Maybe that side of the building never burnt down.
Maybe.
Maybe there was a firewall in between during the 20s or something.
Maybe.
Just exploring all the options. Wow. Okay, so I want to know, what happened to Sparky when this gallery closed down?
Oh, Sparky's still alive.
Oh, good.
Yes, they found a house and made sure that it had the right floor. That was a big thing for them. Sparky is in his own tank, in his own room, in his own basement. Well, I think there's other tanks with other fish down there. They, you know, some people are cat people. My sister's a fish person.
And a bird person.
Yeah, yeah, that too. Anything that doesn't cuddle, right? I have two fish that tastes disgusting. Like, it's a gift. I hope they go soon. Not my thing. I don't know why the cat hasn't eaten them. She probably can't even see there's fish in there for all the crud on the walls of the tank.
I've got several pictures of my childhood cat trying to eat my childhood fish out of the fish tank. So, yeah. She can probably smell them, though. That's probably why she's so crazed. She just doesn't know where
maybe
they are.
That's why she's eating Legos and Q-tips.
I don't know. All cats eat Q-tips, right?
Every cat ever. Oh, my gosh. So, our neighbors, when we lived in Florida, I don't think it was you guys. I think it was another set of neighbors. For the record, Diana was my neighbor in Florida. I convinced her to move to my apartment complex.
It was a good decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then we could like get smashed and like walk back because we were in our 20s and there was wine and there was a big recession and that's what you did. And there was a beach. It's a good combination. Anyway, so we had the neighbors over for a meal and we just met them. You know, we settled into the neighborhood and we're trying to get to know people. And I cooked this meal and I'd cleaned, never cleaned, but I'd like just cleaned everything. It was so spotless. I had this super fuzzy Maine Coon cat named Leah. And Leah comes running out of the hallway down into the living room with something in her paws and then starts playing with it like right in front of everyone. And it was a tampon. It was this tampon that she had, it was not used. It was clean, but she had managed to unwrap it. And like, it was like, you know, there's, I don't know if you've ever taken one apart, but like when they're all fanned out, they're full glory. Like they take up a lot of.
Well, that string, you know, how do you resist that if you're a cat?
I was so mortified.
At least it was a clean one.
Well, thanks, everybody. That's our show. This is our final show of season one. Thank you so much for sticking through it with us. If you haven't listened to any season one episodes, now's your time to binge because you got a few months before season two comes in January 13th. Or before our holiday episode comes up in December. Be sure to check out our Facebook page at Homespun Haints and our Instagram at Homespun Haints and our website at homespunhaints.com to find out when new episodes are coming in. And if you want some bonus content to fill in the gaps between now and then, be sure to join our Patreon, patreon.com/homespunhaints. And, you know, there might be some stuff up there that you can get without being a patron. So it might be worth it just to check it out.
Yes. Until next time, have a spooky day.